Welcome to Androids and Assets, a weekly podcast about the political economy of all of our favorite science fiction and fantasy series. Join us as we investigate the hidden meanings in fantastic worlds and what the future can tell us about today. We upload new episodes every Monday. We hope you enjoy it.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Androids and Assets. Today we'll be discussing In Time, the 2011 Andrew Niccol film starring Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried. I'm Marshall.
And I'm Steven.
Welcome.
Getting right into this. So just a kind of reminder for every podcast is someone's first podcast. We mostly just kind of talk about science fiction and fantasy movies and TV shows and franchises, I guess. And kind of look at the way they teach us to think about social themes. Economics, government, social relationships. And I think, you know, I kind of think, as I've been thinking about this podcast more and more, Marshall, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think we're almost, it's almost sort of a media literacy podcast. It's a little bit like, think about how these movies are trying to teach you how to think about the world.
I would agree with that, for sure.
Yeah. And Marshall, you're an economist, right?
I am.
I'm a high school graduate.
So don't sell yourself short. We both have master's degrees.
This is kind of stuff we like to think about, and they're relevant to our respective careers. So that's what we're doing. We're thinking, or today we're talking about In Time, and we're talking about what are the. We'll start with the economics piece, and then I guess we can move into maybe some of the more like political, because it's a very politically charged movie, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The relationships between people, the odd government that they may or may not have. It's not made entirely clear in the film. So, quick recap. In Time, everyone ages until they're 25, then they're given 1 year of life. That 1 year of life that they have shows up on their arm as a little counter. That's also their currency. It's not just to say how long they have left to live, but it's also what they use to purchase
coffee.
Yeah, coffee, rent, go to school, you pay some portion of your life. Prices, I think, are set by the owners of everything, these wealthy people who live in New Greenwich.
It's the central authority. We're not really sure what.
Yeah. We think they're titans of industry and also government. Kind of both formed an odd time oligarchy. So Justin Timberlake, young man, he's 25 or 27 or something like this. He's young.
He's got
his time.
As much as age. Everyone in this, I mean, when we're looking at the cast of this movie, like just reading up on it, it's like everyone in this movie is beautiful because, again, it's a world that's completely composed of 24 or 25 year olds.
Yeah, everyone stops aging when they're 25.
And apparently no one's obese. You also can't become obese in this system. So, which is cool, I guess. Or maybe just no one can afford to eat. I don't know.
That could also be it.
The dudes are pretty muscly, so.
The first question that I had when I was watching this movie, when you're 25, you're pretty young. I know when I was 25, I still thought I was, if not invincible, the next best thing. Not much was going to hurt me, and I was going to live forever. For me to give up a portion of my life to buy rent, I would have probably just said, nah, that's cool. I can just live, like, under the bushes.
In the street, yeah.
Like, yeah. I'll make my own way until I have enough money that I can afford somewhere nice to live, because whatever, I've got a year. That's so much time! That's, like, forever!
This notion that you are burning your wealth to exist, you know, the concept is that time, you know, so if we have this economy of time, so presumably this facility, I think when the immortality cure was developed, this system of time management was implemented to prevent massive global population boom, right?
That makes sense.
They intimate that in the movie. If you're going to end death, you have to also end birth. And I guess the society didn't want to end birth, so they kept death around. But they just sort of changed the criteria.
Yeah, they sort of mediated who died, and if you could afford to not die, mm-hmm. you didn't have to anymore. It was immortality was available for purchase. A big question for me, though, being an economist, is how is this time created? Where does time come from? So presumably, you know, when you turn 25, you have your years. But
then time is leaving the economy all the time.
Yeah, every living person is always consuming that time. It's like you had to pay a dollar for every minute you were alive or every day you were alive. Pretty soon your salary just disappears from the mere fact that you existed.
And
you don't even have money to purchase anything else anymore.
And we're burning that money.
Yeah, it's not you're paying it to someone else. It's just leaving the economy entirely. It's destroyed. No longer exists. But there's people who have 1,000 years of life or more, millions of years of life, because they're wealthy. And you can see how this exists in the real world. You borrow money from a bank, you make a product, say an iPod, it becomes wildly popular, you sell millions of them for far more than it costs you to produce them, and you become extraordinarily wealthy. You and five of your closest friends just have more money than you could possibly know what to do with. That makes sense, because everyone gets some of this money that we have. It's just sort of, it's in the air. Everybody has money, right? You work a job, you get a salary, and it all sort of started with, like, the government having this fiat currency where you could just, like...
And then there are also measures like taxes and things that, when people are concentrating money, it also kind of works to try and break it up and suction some of it away, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, so like people, you hire people to help you manage your money, the bank takes a kind of it, you get taxed, like, to kind of break up any sort of pools of money.
I mean, yeah, there are some measures
for
that.
And the common person feels it's very much like the wolf at the door, but it's actually, but in the case of like these incredibly large sums of money that someone is just stowed away and sitting on, they're very important to get that money recirculating.
Yeah, I mean, usually you only get taxed on it once, but that's okay. That's
maybe they should tax.
We should tax money, idle money. It's been proposed before. We could get into that for a long time. We'll move away. So in our world, our currency is very old, right? It was sort of a system of, like, I had slightly more wheat than you did because my harvest was slightly better, so I sold it to you and you promised to give me something else in return for it, so I became a little bit wealthier. Maybe I got some of your time. You were like, oh, well, when it comes time to sow the next season, I'll come and sow for you for 2 days. And I was like, cool, that's great, have some wheat. And eventually over time, that sort of builds up as real material, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe we developed an actual currency, gold, the bullion.
Yeah.
We had coins, we had an actual material. And you could go to you could go and mine that material, you could find it, and you could hoard it, but it didn't just disappear. If I spent 100 years with that gold, when I died, someone else got that gold. Because
right.
It still existed. It was still around.
Mm-hmm.
So that currency didn't just, like, fly away.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of eventually translated into government saying, like, wow, the gold standard has some serious problems. And then they were like, we're just going to issue our own currency, and this is the value that it has.
And this is how much of it there is.
This is how much of it there is. We can also create or remove money from the economy as we need to sort of help regulate prices and inflation and so on and so forth. But people then owned product and there was stuff. When you're in the future and there's time and your currency isn't regulated the same way, or maybe it is. Maybe there's a central bank that we're going to add more time into the economy. We're just going to purchase it. We're just going to create more time and we're going to loan that time out to people who...
Yeah.
Are eligible. They have a small business idea. They're gonna start up a coffee shop, a time coffee shop, and you're gonna come in and pay 10 minutes to get a cup of coffee. My question, though, then becomes, when it's time for you to repay the government for the loan that you got, if your business went bust, does the government kill you?
Presumably.
I'm gonna say yes.
And there would be no way. Well, there'd be no way to recover also that time.
Right.
Right. Because that time would be gone.
Are there time repo men?
Go around sucking them in. Well, there's timekeepers.
Timekeepers, they're the police.
Yeah.
And there are Minutemen,
and
who are like the gangs of ruffians that just go around roughing people up for money. Time. They mug you for your time.
Yeah. Mugging people for their life, literal life force. Kind of vampire. Both kind of vampires.
Interestingly, the villain of the movie is a payday loanster, loan shark. He has time banks. You come in, borrow 2 days of time, have to pay back three, which means in those 2 days, you have to, you know, get 50% profits off of your 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Because that time, because you give someone 2 days, there is nothing left at the end of 2 days.
Yeah, we're right. Yeah. So you have to earn three. You have to earn
so the term
3 days to be able to repay it. And probably 5 days if you want to live past due date.
And then you're also out that time.
You have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
So other than that, you didn't die.
Yeah. So there's no sense. Like, one of the big things, and this is a boon of conservatives. Like, is like, well, just adjust your spending, right?
But there's
when you have a fixed rate of spending, you have a biological amortization.
Right.
Yeah.
I cannot even consuming absolutely nothing, merely being alive is considered enough of a cost in the society that. You get charged for it. I guess maybe life is an externality, which is kind of an interesting question that they're raising. Life itself is an externality, and we should all be paying for the privilege to be here. Maybe there's a point there. I don't know.
Well, you know, and certainly it is. But certainly this system maybe is not the best way to measure it. Like, the system they've implemented, like, fine, if we need to make people, like, pay to live, or, like, you know, I think probably the place that levy would be much more on birth. Than on death. You know, like, one of the things, if you have a population and growth problem, what you do is you reduce the number of people being born.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Harder and harder to secure. Like, you just say, we have a fixed number of people who are allowed permitted to be alive.
Right.
Well, like, we have a fixed number of social insurance numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you to be, I mean, that, again, all of these come to an incredibly garish Jonathan Swift level proposal. Indecent proposals.
Are we using Irish babies as gloves? That kind of question?
Yeah. It'll just be like, if someone gets pregnant and they don't have a license to carry a baby to term, because that would contribute to a population boom, like, do you kill that child?
Right.
Right? Or do you just turn
it into a pair of gloves?
I thought we were eating the babies. I mean, I guess you use every part of the baby.
We're sort of a head-to-toe sort of baby society. So I guess it is a neat question, I guess, that you just pay for the mere privilege to be alive. Though, having these two incredibly disparate classes, you have one incredibly wealthy class with people with over thousands of years of life, that they'll live forever at 25, which has got to be weird when you have a kid, and then
they turn
25, and then you become 25.
They address that, because when Will goes to Philip Weiss's, like, party, because he meets him at a casino. He says, this is my daughter, and this is my wife, and this is my mother. And they're just three beautiful
ladies,
20-somethings.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and he says, it's very confusing these days. The generations and whatnot, you know. Ha 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 ha.
Right.
And, you know, I believe Will's mother recently died.
There's
a... Who's played by Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yeah,
she died in his arms.
She
dies in his arms, yeah, so...
Okay, tangent here. Mm-hmm. She died because she repaid a two-day loan, reducing herself to almost no time. She didn't even have enough for bus fare anymore. Mm-hmm. And then asks the bus driver, oh, can you give me a 30-minute loan? My son will repay you. So she knows at this point that her son Will has enough money to be able to let her live for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And instead chooses to repay her two-day loan, putting herself at huge risk of dying, and then does die, when she could have waited, met up with Will, gotten her 50 years of life, went back and repaid her loan and been fine. Just a small thought.
It's stuff about, like, when places close, which is crazy, because that would immediately go away in this economy.
Yeah, you would have 24-hour
society. No place would ever close.
No.
Yeah, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're paying to be alive, you're going to make sure that your business is making money 24 hours a day.
And there will always be people seeking to access your business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. As soon as I can repay a loan, I'm going to, because I can't afford the interest on it. Yeah. It's going to kill me. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, one more night of interest could be the death of me. Yeah. So you would have to.
I would think, though, that...
And then that person dies. Then as a loaner, the lender, you're shit out of luck.
Exactly.
Like, you're
You can't recover your loan.
Yeah.
It's a bad business. It's a bad model.
Yeah.
So the wealthy people, I would think that they would have an incentive to keep the working class working.
Yeah.
Not dying, right?
Yeah.
Think of how much skill somebody could get. If you can keep them at, like, 1 week or 1 year of life, Mm-hmm. And they work for you for 50 or 75 or 100 years, think of the amount of experience and skill that that person now has. They can do that job in their sleep, but the wealthy people are quite willing to just like, eh, kill them off. There's more coming.
Of expertise, yeah.
And that strikes me as being bizarre. Quite bizarre.
Yeah.
You'd want to keep people around. There's going to be tragedies, of course. Car accidents or, I don't know, I'm guessing there's not a
disease. Apparently there's a huge amount of guns in this society.
There are a lot of guns.
A lot of guns around here.
And there is a strong correlation between number of guns and number of deaths. So
it's true. Most people who die in this movie die from gunshots.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of rampant killing.
Yeah. So the NRA clearly is still, still at it in this future Los Angeles.
Well done. Another question.
Yeah.
When you die, what happens to your remaining time?
If you die through like a car accident.
Right. You have a year of life. Yeah. You're going to celebrate your kid's birthday.
This happens.
Bam. Car accident.
Yeah, because this happens to Will's friend, the alcoholic.
Yeah, Burrell or Borrell.
Borrell, yeah. Yeah, he comes in all this time, and he gives 10 years to Borrell for his family, and he goes, drinks himself literally to death that afternoon, aspirates on his vomit or whatever, and then, yeah, what, he's out 9 years?
Like, yeah, he's got 9 years of life left on his clock. So who gets it? Like, does anybody? Yeah. Or is it just the first person who comes and gives him a handshake? Because this is a literal handshake economy. The only time that you get to transfer money is when you can touch another person.
Well, and this is the big issue. This is what causes Will's mom to die, right? Is this fact that they are, you know, they need to be in physical contact to trade money. Like, no one has cell phones. No one dies, but there's technology for no one to die, but there's no cell phones. I mean, granted, I think
it's 2011. Cell phones were around.
Cell phone, definitely. Smartphones were around.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
It's constantly no wireless transmission
of time.
That we have like complete cell phone, for all intents and purposes, complete cell phone penetration, and they use all of their banking on their phone because there's no like solid infrastructure. Kenya. You'd think in the future that would work. You'd be like, oh, I got 100 years of life. Hey, mom. Boop, boop, boop. Here's 20 for you. But no, you have to physically meet up, shake hands. And there's no security system for this. It's not like you have to punch in like a secret code on your arm.
One of the main things about this is that someone can forcibly... This is what... That's the Minutemen work, is that they can forcibly... If your arm is in the rotated downward, people can extract time from you without your consent.
Without consent! It's so easy to rob somebody. And so I just... Does that still exist after you die? Does the first person who finds a dead body just...
Loot that body.
Loot it for the rest of its time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the...
Well, and this is the thing. We're running into a lot of... We're issuing a lot of questions. Of course, there's no answer.
There's no answer.
There's absolutely no answer. It's something that some guy made up.
Right.
Mainly to make a point about, does human life have an intrinsic value in and of itself?
Or
does it all need to be quantized? And
no, I don't think you have to listen very hard before you can hear the director or the writer of the story screaming metaphor at you. In our society today, we encourage people who are poor to essentially mortgage their lives to get housing, because people who are poor die younger. They have lower quality health, lower quality food, everything, and they die young in the world today compared to wealthy people. That's a fact.
In the United States, the exact lifespan differential is 20 years, which is pretty much, I think, a guy, a cardiac surgeon, or not a cardiac surgeon, cardiac researcher, he develops drugs, but he told me basically the difference is 20 years, which is about the span of life that about the span that you can extend someone's life with a chronic disease through medication. So, like, people with diabetes lived, 10 to 20 years longer if they're medicated. If they're not medicated, they die.
Yeah.
They die in their 50s. If you have heart disease, they die in your 50s. So, I think, the United States very much has this, suffers from this through their socialized medicine policy.
One thing, I guess there are also time caps.
With their lack of socialized medicine. Well, yeah, but that's just ways of holding time.
Right, so you can transfer time to a physical device, and then give that device to somebody else and they can take the time from it. Which would allow you to transport time, or for a wealthy person to provide loans. right? So Philip Weiss, the loan shark, puts time in a capsule, and it gets distributed by his...
the million-year capsule.
Yeah, well, he's got a million-year capsule that he keeps for himself, but then he also has his time banks, which are his loan shark outlets, throughout the city. So presumably, like, he'd have an armed guard service who would... transport this time capsules to the various banks.
Yeah, but then, like, again, like, that time, like, if I have a million years sitting around, I mean, now I have to cover the time of my security staff. Like, how long does it take for that capsule to exist before it eats itself?
Well,
literally eats itself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is definitely a question about loans, and is there actually an incentive to repay them? Once you've gotten that time, the only incentive you have is that person, until you repay them, won't lend you money again.
Yeah.
But if you repay them, you lose the time anyway, so maybe you just bump from loan shark to loan shark.
Yeah.
Until you run out of options and die. But there's no incentive to repay. Anyway, there are these time banks that exist. For whatever reason, people do borrow time and repay time. That's what happens in this economy. It happens. We stopped questioning why, we just acknowledge it does happen.
Yeah.
A main point of the story is that Will, who has seduced at this point the loan shark's daughter by showing her how compassionate and giving he is, he wants to give to the poor.
Yeah.
He holds her hostage, not for his own money, but for 1,000 years of time to be given to people who are poor and in debt, of like who have time.
There's a time mission.
Yeah, there's a time mission, like Hope Mission. It's a time mission. You, if you need money, if you need time, you can go and they'll give you, you know, another day or hour of life or something like this.
Yeah, they'll do their best to alleviate the suffering caused from this.
So he seduced her, and then when her father refuses to pay for her life, a mere 1,000 years to be given out to poor people, she sees the error of his ways and falls in love with Will.
Yeah.
They then team up and start robbing his time bank.
Time Robin Hood.
And they become Robin Hood. Future Robin Hood. Will and Sylvia Hood. they rob the time banks and they give it to poor people, which is good. Of course, they have the police after them, and then there's a gasp 10-year reward for their capture. Wow, 10 years of life. I do have questions about just how much value time has in this.
It's the whole thing, like, because ultimately the outcome of this, I'm just being conscious of time. Ultimately, this thing is like when they as they start robbing and distributing time, it doesn't matter because the collusion of the oligarchs or a system of wage and price controls or whatever it is ultimately just drives up the cost of living and inflates away the value of the time that they've stolen.
Yeah, so they don't make a dent in anybody's actual standard of living.
Yeah.
Every time you get more time, you're like, oh, thank goodness, I have a week on my clock now. Your rent just goes up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you have to pay more. Or you can't afford bread that day, and
yeah. So these inflationary pressures, kind of
huge, rampant inflation.
Yeah,
and this is what I mean. These wealthy people are just quite willing to.
But yeah, and so clearly,
grind the poor
because their control over the means of production is perhaps in many respects much more. They're not really time dependent, because they own nickel mines and financial institutions.
Right.
And multinational corporations.
And this might be another sort of metaphor about modern-day capitalism. Or the perceptions, maybe, of modern-day capitalism.
Transnational.
Right, that you have a few really large companies that essentially control prices on a large number of various goods.
Yeah.
So. Quite varied.
Yeah, and they transcend nation and individual currencies, and they can, you know.
If we had a pure capitalism of everyone's wet dreams, we'd see these people competing and driving prices down. But instead, we see the opposite, and we have this collusion. And it's sort of like Adam Smith said, what's his quote about, if two people in the same industry gather, then quite quickly the topic of conversation moves to collusion or something. I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
But he's talking about guilds, right? And that these guilds will automatically collude because it's better for these people to create a false monopoly, drive prices up, and make more money just by being already... Like, if you're rich enough, you can manipulate the system to get even richer.
Yeah, having two companies is not a monopoly.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, because yeah,
there was nothing in this.
It's easy to get two or three companies to work together.
Right.
On something. I mean, look at something like cable or telecommunication like that.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. In some ways, I guess this does work as a critique of modern capitalism. But in other ways, it's almost critiquing a straw man, right? Setting up this idea of, like, there are hugely wealthy people who are so self-interested, but who are willing to collude amongst themselves. Though, I think it's interesting, when they do at some point rob Weiss of his million-year time bank.
Yeah.
And they distribute that out. They manage to, it's kind of the climax of the movie. This million years gets distributed to all the poor people in Dayton. And the people in Dayton pay off all of their debts, presumably, and then have enough time that they just leave their jobs. Factories shut down, and all of these people move to New Greenwich, the wealthy people place, where they get a taste of the luxurious lifestyle. And I don't know how many people live in Dayton, but a million years, if there's only 1,000 people in Dayton, everyone's 1,000 years, and that's pretty decent. Though I imagine the prices in New Greenwich are going to drive them out pretty quickly. But if there's 10,000 people in Dayton, they only get 100 years each. And any debt has to be paid off from that. Mm-hmm. If there's 100,000 people, they get 10 years each. Like this, it doesn't take long
a
million years doesn't turn out to be much for a large group of people, right? If you a million years is a lot for one person to live off of. Mm-hmm. But it's not a lot for a group of people to live off of.
Sure.
That gets spread pretty thin, pretty
fast,
quick.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the issues of welfare measures and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you make those decisions? Yeah. But
then the people of New Greenwich quickly turn on Weiss. I think that's turning on Weiss because when the time becomes available, everyone has more time. They don't say, "Oh, we'll help you recover your time." They just raise the prices on their own goods and immediately steal that money from the poor people that was stolen from Weiss. Mm-hmm. So it's just like it goes from Weiss to the poor people to the other rich people, but not Weiss. So he's out time, and his compatriots, who he was colluding with yesterday, are now stealing from him. So it's not like they have like.
No, there's no honor amongst thieves, as the adage goes. Well, I guess this is the thing, because one of the things we talk about in the sci-fi world is often you talk about like post-scarcity, where you have like there is no more scarcity anymore, But the scarcity here is at least to some extent very real. Like people can't just keep having babies and keep growing the population of the planet ad nauseum forever.
No, they might be approaching post-scarcity. They have immortality. But there's definitely scarcity. They're still stuck on Earth.
Yeah. So they do need to make. So they do need to, as a society, make decisions about how they deal with that scarcity, right? But the thing is, I think, and this is where the critique stands, is on the fact that they do it in the cruelest and stupidest way possible.
Yes.
Right. That just people live. You know, just people living. You know, live long enough just to appreciate their lives, and then they have a few, and then they eke out a few short, scared years, and then they die. And it's not overly, it's not effective, it's not really fair, and it doesn't really actually service the good of that society, because it only serves to elevate people who have historically had wealth and influence, which again isn't, and again, you talk about like all these technicians, all these experts, all these people who make and do things, who have a critical expertise to that society, who just die out because they're not, you know, and meanwhile, people who are really good at moving money from one pile to another pile, live forever.
Yeah,
and you know, it's actually not a long time before you actually get a deficit of skill and technology that could actually really start to harm your society.
Yeah, so maybe I've kind of come around to it being in some ways a useful critique of modern capitalism, that we should value the skills that actually are productive, and not just those skills that are sort of
profitable. Yeah,
We have incentives in the wrong places right now, I think, is what the show is saying. And that if the time comes that we reach immortality, let's find a better currency than a year of your life. Is kind of, that's the big lesson that we take away from this.
I think that's, yeah. And
so I think maybe I started this podcast hating a lot of things about this movie and thinking, how terrible is this? How stupid is this? This could never happen. And then finishing through the conversation and going, actually, maybe some of these things are happening. They're just not quite as pointed as the movie has them. Well, thanks.
No worries.
Thanks a lot. That helps.
Yeah, good times. Okay, well.
All right, well, thanks for sitting in with us.
Yeah.
This was Androids and Assets.
Yeah. If you have questions or comments about our show, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Music from this episode has been from an Ant and an Adam. Thanks so much for your support.